This is Kate in the podcast, Find It. Today is session 2 in a series of podcasts on holy living. How can we lead a life that fills our souls with wellness, that entices human flourishing, in which we find meaning and purpose in this chaotic world? This second session talks about community. Catherine Jefford Shorey, former presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, once said that quantum physicists are the new theologians, and I agree. I need to read physicists who can only express themselves in plain English, since I'm not a mathematician and never could get to calculus. One physicist that I adore is Carlo Rovelli. Carlo Rovelli writes this about the nature of the universe. There is nothing mysterious about what I'm going to say. The world is not divided into standalone entities, he writes. It is we who divide it into objects for our convenience. A mountain chain is not divided into individual mountains. It is we who divide it up into parts that strike us as in some way separate. A countless number of our definitions, perhaps all of them, are relational. A mother is a mother because she has a child. A planet is a planet because it orbits a star. A predator is such because it hunts prey. A position in space is there only in relation to something else. Even time exists only as a set of relations. If you want to discern why God has made you or what your purpose is in this life, you cannot do this alone. The relationship between just you and God is not enough. In the second chapter of Genesis, after God makes the first Adam or earth creature, the word in Hebrew for earth is Adamah, God says, "It is not good for Adam to be alone." The first things God makes for companions for Adam are animals. The word for animal in ancient Hebrew means sustainer. Animals were made to keep us company. At least in the second creation story. In the first story, we were made to take care of the earth and its creatures, and humans were made after the animals. Why are the first two stories of the Bible contradictory in this way? As a Christian who embraces reason, I can tell you what I think. I think that these stories tell us deep truths about who we are, that they are trying to explain things beyond human comprehension. The order of the first story of creation is a story of 7 days. It is the same as the order of evolution. All you need to consider is that a day in the mind of God is more like a millennia. And then it works completely in harmony with science. The second story is a story about human nature. That we were made by God and formed from the earth, but that we have somehow taken in too much knowledge, and that knowledge has overwhelmed us and gotten us thrown out of a state of innocence. And we long to get back there, to where things make sense and we are cared for with unconditional love. We were designed for Eden, according to this second story. We were designed to live in a paradise where there is no suffering, where there is unconditional love and acceptance, which is why the suffering and pain of this world feel so wrong to us when they occur, in our very bones. This is not how things should be, we cry, when someone suffers from cancer, when war breaks out. Why is this happening, we say. Is God punishing me? We ask these questions because we were created, designed, in fact, for Eden, for harmony and peace and wellness. In both stories, we were created not to be alone. We human beings cannot see ourselves clearly. We easily become too absorbed in ourselves. When we're alone, our minds begin to go in crazy places. We become very focused on ourselves. Our ego takes over. Are we good? Are we beautiful? Are we happy? We need other people to keep us honest, to help us to distinguish right from wrong. There is a reason why we have always had two people counting money after church. People will put donations in the plate that we pass around, and it's always two that have to count together, because one is dangerous, one is easily tempted and drawn astray, one is not safe. We see this over and over again. An idealist with a beautiful vision creates some kind of company, but then when they're left alone with the money, they start taking it for themselves. One is not safe. Shadows trick us when we are alone. We are seeing an epidemic of loneliness in this country. Loneliness is hard on mental health. It is simply not good for us. We are designed by God to be with one another. In the Christian tradition, there is a theological concept used to describe God. It is called Trinity. The theological concept is that God is three persons in one entity. In the ancient church, those three persons were often called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. More recently, with awakenings as to gender and masculinity and femininity, we've called them sometimes Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. But the point of this theological concept is twofold. One is that God is incomprehensible, because the notion that something could be both three and one makes no sense to our rational minds. And that is the point. God cannot be rationalized. God cannot make sense to us. God is too large, too mysterious, too unfathomable. The second reason for this theological concept is that God is relationship. Humanity was made in the image of God in community. God created them, male and female. In the image of God, God created them. Community is part of God, and it is part of us. God is not lonely. God has all relationship and all love within the divine self. And we cannot find our way along the path of Jesus without the gift of other people. Remember that Jesus himself was always in community. He walked this earth with a group, a small group of disciples who gave him feedback, who frustrated him and challenged him. But fundamentally, he wasn't always alone. But community is hard. Every single human being has a gap in their personality. It is there, somewhere. Just go on a trip with someone for 2 weeks alone and you'll find it. Ancient Christians called it sin. I like to say that everyone has issues. It's easier for them to accept that word. Sin is not that you're bad or a jerk, but that you have something a little bit off, a gap somewhere. A part that just doesn't quite fit or work right, something that gets you stuck. We all have it. It's part of the human condition. Only Jesus didn't have issues. Only Jesus didn't have sin. So in marriage, friendship, or community, you will find the gaps in other people. And often, those gaps interact. I see it all the time in church. The creative artistic type wants to build a wonderful piece of art, while the organizer wants to keep the space clean and free of clutter. The expressive soprano in the third row sings slightly off key but with great joy, but she drives the shy pianist mad with her sharp tones that aren't quite on pitch. The man who loves the church so much and dresses in a suit every single week and has been going for church for 60 years yells at the little boy who has sneakers that light up and makes the little boy want to run out of the church and never return. And on and on. Community means seeing yourself as others see you, while also putting up with, forgiving, and being patient with the interminable faults of others. Community is hard work, but it is the way that God is calling us to be fully present with one another and with God. We were made for community. We were made to belong. Jesus said, "When two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst of them." It's not that God is not with you when you're alone, but being alone is more treacherous. Jesus himself went out into the desert, and when he was alone, he was tempted by Satan, by the devil, by darkness, whatever you want to call it. And when we're alone, it is harder for us to maintain our mental and spiritual health. Not impossible, but hard. If we want to live a holy life, a life of spiritual wellness, we must do so in community. Thank you for joining me in this second session of the podcast, Find It on Holy Living. May God bless you and keep you always.